Hi all, Arun here. Thanks for checking out the latest edition of Get Wise College Admissions Explained. This week's episode, community service is not about the hours. As we continue exploring the fundamental truths of college admissions, I've got another stellar colleague joining me. At CollegeWise, Tom Berry is known for his deep affinity of all things flannel. What you'll love is his deep experience as a college counselor and his experience as an admissions officer. And for the second straight episode, we've got some fancy Stanford cred, as that's where Tom did his graduate work. It was a lively conversation and is perfect for those looking to get more insight on the role extracurriculars play in admissions, especially if you're looking to make some decisions surrounding summer plans or even this fall's opportunities. All right, let's take a listen to Tom's wise words. I'm excited to have you on here, Tom. I mean, you've got such a multitude of experiences kind of in the world of education, and I think so much of that can be tied back into what we're talking about today. And of course, you know, we're talking about this idea of community service and the idea that so many people see community service, so many students see it in terms of just raw hours. But that, of course, is a portal just to the way a lot of students see their activities. I think your former admissions officer, in fact, let's take a moment. You worked at Colorado College for a few years. Maybe not all the folks out there know Colorado College, but it's one of my favorite places out there. Maybe take a second and tell folks about it.
Yeah, sure. A little plug for the alma mater, and maybe the development office will stop calling me if I do it here. They're like $70 is not enough, sir. Right. But the Colorado College, it's a small liberal arts school. It's actually the only liberal arts school in the Rocky Mountain time zone, if you want to. Fun little tidbit there. But probably their main element is that they work on a block plan where which a lot of colleges are thinking about for this coming fall, but CC's been doing it since the 60s, where basically students just take one class at a time and professors only teach one class at a time, so you do the same amount of work, but it's just a super focused environment. And that's probably the main calling card of CC. But yeah, as you mentioned, right. I went there, so there's that. And then a lot of students will go and work in admission at the place where they went, like kind of immediately after, because it's a really fun job to do for a few years. You get to kind of just talk about yourself for a while. Right. I took a year in between and did some traveling, worked on a fishing boat in Homer, Alaska, as people do, and then came back and worked in admission there for 4 years before going off to grad school. At Stanford, and doing, when I worked in admission, I was doing a lot of the international education and international admission. And so I actually went to grad school for international education and then went off to work at African Leadership Academy in South Africa for a couple of years. Right. And now I've been at CollegeWise for 7. So this is the longest I've been anywhere.
Yeah. And we're glad to have you, and hopefully for a lot longer. I knew all of that except for the Alaska fishing boat bit. So that explains the flannel and the beard. I know it's a podcast, but folks out there should visualize that. And
we also didn't mention, I live in Seattle, so that also explains the flannel and the beard and the trucker hat that, you know, nobody can see.
Ubiquitous. Yeah. I'm embarrassed. It's slightly raining here in Southern California, and I have a raincoat. My brother lives in Seattle. I remember the first time I visited him, and I popped open an umbrella, and he about had an aneurysm, knocking it out of my hands. We don't do that here. Yeah. Like, okay, sorry, man. But let's talk a little bit about this idea of, you know, community service hours. And in some ways, I don't blame the students out there or the parents who misunderstand it, because it is quite literally physically baked into the application process. You know, if we look at the Common Application or the University of California application, or really any application system out there, it's asking you for how many hours a week are you doing this service or this, activity. But you and I, former admissions officers, know that that's certainly not the way on the admissions side we would value things. When you were looking at students' activities, when you were that admissions officer, you know, domestically, internationally, what were you looking for? It wasn't about those just raw numbers, right? What did you find yourself looking for on the admissions side? And then, of course, I want to talk a little bit about it from the college counseling side, too.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of times, there were things that you were looking for and hoping not to find, but that you still found. Right. A lot of the time. And one of the most common ones was the student who gets the president service, community service award for 100 hours of community right. service in a year, and stops right. then and just and says, great, I got my, you know, service award. Good for me. Or the, I'm not trying to call out Eagle Scouts here, Arun, because I know you
Very
are proud. A proud one. but the student who achieves their Eagle Scout rank and then is finished with that whole thing. So there's, it doesn't discredit like the amount of time that, that students probably spent on it, you know, like it doesn't, at least theoretically, those community service hours were hours spent serving their communities, and like there is a value to that. But at the same time, you know, if you're doing service for your own benefit, then what, how much servitude are you really conveying to somebody who's, you know, on the admission side? So I think the students who really were stuck out in a good way, and like I say, I don't mean to discredit it. Like, we should all do more community service. We should all do as right. much as we can to help those in our communities. But at the same time, you know, like you gotta, when you're reviewing an application, it's all about, and we use the word over and over and over again, but it's all about context. Like, what were you, not just what were you doing and how much time did you spend, but how does this fit into your life? Like, did you serve, you may work at a soup kitchen once a month, but if you're not also, you know, if that's not like a either a long-standing thing, or if it's something that kind of like was coordinated by your mom or something like that, it sort of, I don't want to say it loses its value, but it loses its power
right.
In terms of kind of the narrative that students are trying to convey in their applications.
Right. Yeah. Well, now I remember interviewing students and, you know, speaking to them about community service, and there was such a bright line drawn between the kids when you're like, hey, let's talk a little bit more about this involvement with Habitat for Humanity. You'd have those kids who are like, I have 80 hours. You have other kids who are like, I don't remember how many hours I have, but let me tell you about everything that I was involved with and how much it meant and the people I met. And, you know, 15 minutes later, they're still talking. You're like, okay, all right, got it. You love this, right? So I think you use that word context. I'd also throw in that word authenticity as well, right? There is such a difference between the kids who do community service because they're truly engaged with the work versus the kids who are doing it to rack up the hours. And, you know, you're now a college counselor here at CollegeWise, and, you know, part of our role is, you know, helping kids think about how they spend their time outside of the classroom. What's your response to the parent who says, you know, my child's doing these wonderful things in X, Y, and Z, but gosh, she's got no community service? Where do you start your conversation with that parent?
Yeah, I think a lot of times, parents in particular, well, parents and students, but especially parents, there's a tendency to look at the admission process as a checklist. And if you just do all of these things and do them for a certain number of minutes or hours, and in some version of some succession of some kind, that's what every college is going to want to see. And so that's what's going to be valuable in the process is, great, I checked my leadership box, I checked my community right. service box, I checked my my captain of the sports team box, I checked my sports team box, and then captain is my leadership, so there I got to double dip with that. But I think with service, like, and I think from a parent side, and I understand this as a parent too, this is maybe a little bit more information than people necessarily want, but we just finished potty training, and I probably read 3 books about potty training. We have a 3-year-old,
right.
And so I've read like 3 books about potty training and tried to do exactly what they all said, even though they all said slightly different things or different versions of the same thing. But, you know, from the very beginning, you know, we're trying not to mess up, and we're trying to like
right.
follow the rubric of what does that look like? And that tends to look like a lot of handholding. And so from a student side, or from a parent side, it's, you know, how can I best set my child up for success? Of course, that's, college admission is different from potty training,
right.
but colleges
only
are really looking for students to be only slightly. You know, admission officers are, the parent is not going to be going to college. The parent is going to be writing the checks of some amount for college. But it's going to, the person who's going to be on campus and who's going to be a college student is the student. And so there's not a, when you think about all of the different extracurriculars that come into play and co-curricular things that students do and how much time they have, I wouldn't say that there's an inherent value that some things have and others don't. Like right. I say, I think we should all be doing community service, but the value really has to be to the individual student who's going to be a community member, if it's going to mean anything on the application yep. or on the review process to the admission officers.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, coming out of the Harvard Graduate School of Education, they have the Making Caring Common Project. And one of the things that they highlight there in that project is the idea of sustained meaningful service, right? And I think this idea of sustained, I kind of really stress that with my students simply because there is that tendency of like, I'll put in 10 hours on that project this weekend and I'll do it again next month. And then by the end of the year, I'll have 75 hours and I've done my part. I've checked off those boxes versus that daily sustained kind of, you know, caring about others can be so much more impactful, at least, well, I think to the growth of a young person, but certainly also on the admission side, as schools get more selective, they're digging a little bit more on those things. So, you know, with certain activities, and you were talking a little bit about this, there's often this idea out there that there are certain activities that are better than other activities. Could you just bust that myth right now? I mean, Colorado College, yes, it's a unique place academically, but it's like at most other selective, highly selective colleges, I believe, in the way they admit students. Could you talk a little bit about this idea of the right activities?
Yeah, I think there's the right activities. And it's such a silly phrase too, because we're talking about like basically like we call it activities because that's what the section is called on the Common App. Like we're using these terms, right. It's really just how do you spend your time when you're not in school or doing homework or asleep, and some students have more of that time than others, and you know, based on whatever else they have going on in their lives. Some students play sports, other students are part of drama and dance clubs, and some students are, you know, taking care of their younger siblings or driving their younger siblings somewhere. There's so many different ways to spend your time, and there's so many different circumstances that can either limit or enhance your leisure time, essentially. You know, over the course of, this is true in probably everybody's life, but over the course of the 4 years of high school, pretty much everybody inevitably has to narrow things down. Right. You know, you can't, things become more time commitments and they become more intense and they become just more. Each individual thing becomes just more of your time over the course of your 4 years. And so you can't have you can't be stirring every single pot all along the way. And so the choices students make about how that they're going to spend their time as that amount of time narrows and as the areas in which they can actually spend it narrows can be really telling. But in terms of trying to determine, like, you know, what is a valuable way to spend your time and thinking about community service, I think it's sort of, community service is a real safe way to put your it's a safe basket to put your eggs in. It's sort of like when a kid says, I want to major in engineering. It's like, nobody's going to give you a hard time because nobody's ever said, what are you going to do with an engineering degree? Right. You know, like everybody right. knows what engineers do. And so community service from an activities standpoint kind of is exactly that same safe thing. Nobody's going to give you a hard time of like, you cared too much about other people. But at the same time, like I had a student that I worked with 1 year at Colorado College. I didn't work with him, but he came through the admission committee. And he's from like rural Maine up in the county. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know the county of Maine, but it's basically all of the potato growers in northern Maine. It's like one county, and that's, they call it the county, and it takes up like half the state. but he kind of had a lot of time on his hands and outside of school, and he built a hovercraft. Like, that was just his interest. And so he, you know, there weren't a whole lot of, like, you know, there may have been food pantries or whatever, but it's not like there was a whole big club soccer, you know, network that you had to travel for and all of that. But when we read his application, it totally stood out, because it's like, well, you actually figured out how to make the most of your time. And, like, I'm not saying you're going to build a hovercraft when you get to our college, but it was certainly memorable. And he walked in on he came, I'll never forget it. He came to the admission open house, the admitted student open house on the that colleges used to have, at least in April, and now they have it virtually. And he was just checking in, and Mark Hatch, dean of admission at Colorado College for two decades now, he just he was like, "Oh, you're hovercraft kid," you know, like that had stuck out, and he remembered him from the admission committee, and you know, he ended up, I think he did end up going to Colorado College, but it was just, it's that sort of thing of just like how you spend your time. There's no hierarchy. It's not that one thing is inherently more value than another. But that's what is memorable, as opposed to just, you know, the weekend that you spent volunteering because you thought you were supposed to.
I feel like we're going to have to do some research and find out what's happened to Hovercraft Kid. Is he, like, now working for Tesla, or is he off working for SpaceX, something like that? So you did mention, you know...
Well, if he went to Colorado College, he's probably slacklining right now.
Oh, fair enough. Or a little hacky-sacking in the midst of things. So, yeah. Well, so admission, you know, as a former admissions officer, there can be, you know, hovercraft is obviously really unique. And I think that's always something that's slightly fascinating to me, is that so many of these kids who can kind of be in rural outlying areas, they often come up, they are often read really interesting as applicants, because they're just doing things that a lot of students would never think to do, or even possibly have the opportunity to do. And so there can be, you know, as an admissions officer, there were some of these activities that, you know, when we talk about authenticity, you would see kind of over and over. Do you remember any of those kind of examples of just some stuff that seemed to come up over and over? And I bring this up because I'm also wanting you to offer some advice on how students can bring some fresh examples to, you know, there's nothing wrong with being in the chess club at all. But how would you talk about it in perhaps a slightly different way than, you know, the dozens of other kids who might be in the chess club at your STEM-focused school?
The things that stick out, so one of it, there are actions that stick out. I think that a lot of times from students, and sometimes that's an activity, sometimes that's just like a passion that somebody happens to have. When I was, I remember when I was doing, the international work, and I worked at a school in, like I said, in South Africa.
Right.
And we had one student who, she was an amazing student. She was doing A-levels, which is like super intense study and, like, you know, a concentrated number of things. She still found a way to read two novels a week. You know, like, that was how she decompressed. That was how she wanted to just sort of, like, let the stress melt away. And it was just something she loved to do. And we were always very clear of, like, you got to tell colleges about that, and you've got to have those conversations. On, you know, again, not wrong things, but a couple of the things that you see a lot of, just because we're talking about community service in particular right now, is things like National Charity League and National League of Young Men, and of course the ubiquitous National Honor Society, and those sorts of programs that are really great, and I don't want to minimize what they are, but there is also, you don't have to have much agency. All you have to do is make sure that you go to the things that are planned for you.
Yep.
And there's but there's minimal amount of student driven, student focused agency that they can take in those in pursuing those activities, which, again, not that that's makes them bad things, but it also just, like, it's doesn't take you as far as being willing to say, hey, this is something that I really love. And I'm going to pursue it somehow. And you talked earlier about what was the term?
Authenticity?
That's used in the Harvard study.
Oh, they talk about sustained meaningful service.
Right. Yeah. So you talked earlier about sustained service and sustained meaningful work, and one of the things that I think is important for students to and parents to think about is that sustained doesn't necessarily mean it has to be the same organization or the same exact thing over and over and over again, or the same team or the same whatever. It's the sustained effort and the sustained right. willingness to find the things that are going to drive you and that you're going to do kind of no matter what, whether this is for a college application, like whether it looks good or not, it's something that is interesting.
Yep.
And then when students are talking about those there's the activities that you do, and then there's how you present them or how you right. talk about them in your application and in your essays. And I always tell students, in some ways, the kind of quirkier things in your applications, lean into those.
Yep.
Because if you're super into like film noir, mm-hmm. and that's just a random area that you find interesting, then one of two things will happen. Either your admission reader will also be into film noir and be like, cool, kindred spirits, you know, right. like this is really fun and I can totally see what you're talking about and we could have a conversation about this. Either that'll happen, or it'll be somebody who doesn't know anything about film noir and they might not care in the great scheme of things, but it's still interesting. You know, right. you learn something. You learn something not just about the student, but you learn something new.
Yeah.
Because it's not just, you know, the things that you see repeatedly every day.
Right.
Because I'm sure you remember this from reading applications, you usually read anywhere from 30 to 50 applications a day. There's a lot of redundancies and a lot of repetitiveness mm-hmm. in those things. And leaning into the things that might seem quirky, but they always stand out.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, I'm always drawn to the example of a girl I worked with a handful of years ago who, very cerebral kid, you know, also, you know, very focused on, you know, baking and healthy eating, which can sound like they're paradoxes, but she was, you know, still figuring out a way to make healthy baked goods. But she also was the founder and president of her school's Little Wayne fan club, you know, and it was just such a quirky, funny thing that this girl loved hip hop, and you know, they'd gather every week to kind of like pick a song and go through the lyrics. And you know, I remember her mom being slightly horrified that was going on the application, but it created such a full, rich picture of who she was that I think, you know, it ended up being pretty irresistible, and she ended up at being admitted to a number of highly selective you know, universities. And so there was just, again, that authenticity. This is who she was. At no point did I suggest as her college counselor, hey, go out and start this club. She was just like, huh, I love this. This is fun. It's a good way to spend time. Certainly mm-hmm. her mom didn't tell her to do it. And, you know, also going back to the application itself, you know, I'm pushing kids, you know, they get fixated again on the hours of these clubs, or the titles of like, I was president of National Honor Society. But like, you and I know that often didn't mean much at a lot of schools. It was just kind of a figurehead title. But at other schools, being president or vice president, it means running the largest tutoring organization within the high school, right? And coordinating all the other students and their volunteer hours and the kids who are being tutored. So that why matters so much as well, you know, in the physical application, making sure that a student gets out there and, you know, articulates that. There are, you know, when you kind of think about, you know, your own days as an admissions officer, do you remember, you brought up the hovercraft story. Are there any other kind of examples of that that come to mind? Maybe not quite as exotic, but interesting nonetheless.
Well, I do want to give, because I gave you a hard time about being an Eagle Scouter, and I do want to point out that I was the president of my high school's National Honor Society, and I can personally attest to the relative lack of necessary effort that being the president of at least Plattsburgh Senior High School's NHS class was chapter. But yeah, in terms of things that stuck out, one of the things that I think is always interesting is how kids can see things that overlap. So like your student who loved baking and then also loved Lil Wayne, like you could see that merging together and creating like a whole line of Lil Wheezy lemon bars or something like that. You could see like an actual
they sound delicious
coming together
wait.
There yeah. And I always think it's really interesting when things come together, you know, seemingly disparate ways. It reinforces to as an admission officer, it reinforces that these are things that are interesting enough that you also said, well, how can I can combine them? You took that extra step. In the first episode, Kevin talked a lot about initiative, and so often that's a real indication of not just passion and interest, but also initiative of saying, how can I fit these together? And I had a student actually just last year who loved folding origami cranes. That was like her, in some ways, like she like always fidgeted and then became like, that was how she would kind of, that was how she, it helped her pay attention in school. And so she would just have all of these origami cranes. And she also volunteered at a retirement home. And that was, it was a retirement home that her grandmother had been to. And so she, and her grandmother had since passed away, but she got to know a lot of the residents and a lot of the employees. And so one of the things she did is not only do the, you know, get it really into origami and origami cranes in particular, but she also would create whole, like, you know, swarms of origami crane things and bring it to the retirement home and give it to individuals and she decorated for the entire like one end of the year party or whatever. And you know, that's just like somebody might think that you would put volunteer, because it's community service, so volunteering at a retirement home on your application, you wouldn't necessarily put origami crane creation on your application. But when you see those things that are seemingly unrelated come together, that's always just a really cool thing. And I've seen it with students who were really interested in music or filmmaking, and then also something, well, actually I had one student who was really interested in music and filmmaking, and his hobby was basically creating music videos. And so like you can see on the application, he plays in band at school and orchestra. But he also made these like dubstep remixes of like classical songs, and made videos on YouTube, music videos for him. And you know, he included those links in a few of his applications. And there was, I don't know who clicked on them. That was when I was on the counseling side, but, if they did, they were in for a treat. It was pretty cool stuff.
You know, you're actually bringing up a really interesting point. You know, earlier we were talking about a number of like kind of formal activities, and a lot of students can kind of see their activities being almost this funnel. You know, my ninth grade, I will join as a member, and my sophomore year, I will take on an assistant leadership role, and my junior year, I will become treasurer, and my senior year, I hope to become president. And they view their progress that way, right? And then there are those kids who are like, yeah, there's no real clubs for the stuff that I'm interested in, right? And they're just out there informally. I'm thinking of a student I'm working with now who he's dived really deep into tap dancing online, right? He was terrified to do it at school, but now he's doing it online. And there is no tap dancing class per se, but he's a kid. He's going to keep this up even when we break from the shelter in place. What is your advice to those, you know, to those kids out there who aren't looking to join some sort of club where you get hours, there's no advisor who will write you a letter of recommendation? Do they still hold value in the admissions process or even to your growth as a young person?
Absolutely. And one thing because I've also worked with students as a counselor who were really hung up one way or the other about formal activities being the only things that count. And either they were like, well, I need to start a club at my school because I need to show that I'm founder of something, but I don't know, you know, I don't care about right. anything enough to really do it. Or they think that the things that they do aren't valuable enough to warrant mentioning to an admission office. And one thing I've told students to do, like I say, one way or the other, it's I think it's a valuable exercise to do yourselves, like no matter what age, I've did it myself a few times, is to just mm-hmm. track your time for a week and just see how you spend it and see where you spend it. And if all you see is Netflix, then that probably is not going to fly as all that well. But it's not because you lack official clubs. It's because you don't actually do anything except watch Netflix. And colleges are trying to build, we always talk about the term building a class, but they're trying to build a group of people who are going to be a community. And if you're just going to be holed up by yourself, and sure, you got great grades and great test scores, but if you're not going to do anything for the community with that, and you're just going to be the term we used to use in at Colorado College was stenographers, who are really, really good at taking notes and regurgitating the information, but that doesn't translate to even a discussion-based class, let alone a dorm that's trying to build their network. So, but a lot of times when students think they have things that don't really have as much value necessarily, or don't think they're involved in things that have as much value, sometimes just looking at how you spend your time, and I've had students where I point at, well, that student in South Africa, who I could just say, look, you read novels, literature, for 25 hours this week. That's a really cool thing. And it's not invalid. It's not invalid just because you don't get a President's Service Award. You know, you're going to be leading, you don't have to create the book club in order to get value out of reading. And although she did create a book club, but that's besides the point. So I think sometimes just thinking about it in that way of how do you spend your time when you're not thinking about college and trying to keep track of that.
Yeah, I'd really go even further in the sense, you know, when I look at some of my students, and I realize not every parent or student listening to this is thinking about highly selective colleges, but so many of the students that I've seen being admitted to, you know, a Harvard, a Stanford, MIT, if I look at their activities list, it's a natural outgrowth of just stuff that they love doing, right? Like there was never any sort of sit down meeting, like, all right, what will look good and what's the, you know, what is the path that I can take to increase responsibility and rewards and achievements, which will lead to great letters of rec. It was just like, I love calligraphy, or, oh my goodness, I love, you know, Christopher Nolan films, you know, even something like a love of Netflix. If that leads you to start learning more about cinema, or leads you to start writing critical reviews of films, or understanding the marketing machines behind Hollywood blockbusters, it can be a pretty wonderful portal to a million different things. And I find that those kids who don't obsess about how it's, at least in their early years, you know, it does become important to know how to get this down on the application. But those kids who take that time or don't spend a lot of time and just pursue the stuff that they love doing, pretty good things happen out of that. And I'm sure you've experienced that as a counselor as well. When we talk about, I don't know, think about probably one of your most recent favorite students. You probably didn't have to do a whole lot of like, hey, here's how you should think about your summer.
Right. Well, and you've pointed out a number of times that, you know, one of the questions that we get a lot of times as counselors, at least in the early days before we've had a chance to like really work with students, is what are colleges looking for? What do they want me to do? What should I do? How do I enhance my application or my resume? Just asking to be told what to do. And the most unsatisfying response that we always give is they want you not to be asking that question and to be an actual human being, as opposed to just an automaton who's trying to just check the things off the list.
Well, I mean, Tom, we came to this conversation simply because this idea of hours, whether it's community service, the, you know, getting to the blood drive, whether it's extracurriculars and should I be on the tennis team to have sports, it's just a question that we get a lot from students. And so I've really enjoyed kind of our back and forth here. I think we're both on the same page. I think we're really pushing on that idea of authenticity and the idea of impact. Is there anything that you would like to kind of share before we close out here?
Well, I think thanks first of all for having me on here, and not to keep bringing up the Eagle Scout question, but because you pointed that you asked about who some of my favorite students were this past year, one of them actually was an Eagle Scout, now that I think about it.
Of course.
And his project was super cool. And so I want to give you
props for that. You have not been stuck on a mountain with me, but if you ever were in that unfortunate situation, you'd be thankful it's me versus, like, say, Kevin or Nandita. I'm comfortable to say
that. I mean, if I ever need some knots, I know exactly
the weakest part of my survival game, to be honest with you. I didn't say on a boat. I said on a mountain. So, hey, Tom, it's been great. Stay dry up there in Seattle, and hope to see you soon when this whole thing breaks.
Thanks, Arun. Yeah, I really appreciate your time.
Tom never disappoints. Thanks for the great advice. Our listeners definitely have some takeaways as they consider how students can best spend their time outside of the classroom. Next week on Get Wise, we're in for a real treat with test prep extraordinaire Paul Kanarak as we discuss how test scores are never the most important thing. As always, if you want more great advice on admissions, check out collegewise.com. In addition to this podcast, we've got loads of free and timely webinars, plus other resources. We appreciate you listening. Stay well as you find your own hovercraft.